We have been blessed as a church through the Grooms family, through Global Partners, and many of us in this church have been, and many of our children have been to Haiti or to Jordan or even to India. And I want to make a special appeal for two things. And here's what I'd like to make an appeal for. The first is for two specific individuals or two couples to begin praying for the Grooms family specifically as a way to add on to your prayer list, whatever your prayer list looks like, as just prayer warriors who can support them, who can be praying for them. I would know just from my own experience that the greatest gift that has ever been given to me in the area of ministry is people praying for me. Charles Spurgeon said this. Someone asked him, "What's the secret to your prayer?" "What's the secret to your successful ministry there in the Metropolitan Tabernacle there where thousands of people would pour in each week?" And this is what he said. He said, "My people pray for me." And below in the basement, 200 people gathered every single Sunday, and during the sermon, they would be praying for Charles Spurgeon as he brought the word. And so, if that is something that the Lord would stir in your heart and say, "Jonathan and Heidi, I would like to be praying for you. My family would like to be praying for you. We'd like to adopt you into our prayer life and just lift you up and be praying for you on a regular basis, a consistent basis." I'm going to ask that you would come forward at the end of the service and just share that with Jonathan and Heidi. Second, I'm going to ask this. Jonathan didn't put me up to this, didn't ask me to do this, doesn't like me doing this. I'm sure it's awkward for him. I can't see his face right now, but it's probably pretty awkward. However, it's important. Being one who's lived off support for 4 years, really God's people supported us going through seminary and then pastor's college, it's hard. There are financial restraints and different times when don't know if the rent's going to be paid and all the rest, and God's been faithful. And I know the Grooms would say that God has been faithful to them and continue to be faithful. But as you continue on in ministry and you're relying on support, it gets harder. Because it's one thing to do that for the first year, but it's very hard to do that for the fourth year and the sixth year and the seventh year and the eighth year as people fall off. And so I'm going to ask today, this is my prayer, that two individuals or two couples would say that we would like to support you financially, Jonathan and Heidi, as part of just our offering to the Lord. I know many times just the timing of God's in this. I know when we supported a certain child in a certain country, that child kind of went through, we supported them so they were of age, and then we were no longer allowed to support them anymore. And we had this money that was just sitting around that we'd done every month, and it just so happened that we that month came in contact again with someone who had discipled me on a college campus and was still there doing it 25 years later. And so we just transferred those funds to that person. And it was just exciting because we know that person. And that person is invested in me and therefore is invested in any way that God's used me in the past. And the one thing about, Heidi and Jonathan, I can say is, listen, every person and couple has their flaws. Don't be fooled to think that somehow that people don't struggle, no matter the godliest of people. I'm not saying that, and I'm not making an appeal to that whatsoever. Every single person in your life will disappoint you at one time or another. There's only one person who will never disappoint, and his name is Jesus. However, I've also just seen that Jonathan and Heidi, they're faithful. And it's one thing to give money to mission endeavors. It's another thing to give money to individuals that you know or have some kind of connection, and you've been there and you've seen their ministry and you've watched them interact and you've benefited from their ministry, as we have as a church. These are individuals that are, I think, worthy of support. So if you have been thinking about some extra offering money, or perhaps you want to take that step of faith, maybe as a new couple, maybe as a couple that hasn't done something like that before, these are individuals that I think are worthy of doing that, of supporting what they're doing, people who are humble, people who are teachable, people who have a real heart for discipleship and a desire for the gospel to go forward. That would describe, in my opinion at least, and I think Spencer's and Colin would agree with me, in our opinion, that describes Jonathan and Heidi to a T. So I wanted to make an appeal. My prayer is that two new individuals, two new couples at least, would come forward and say, we want to financially support you as a family. So that's my prayer. Two couples to support them in prayer, and two couples support them financially. If you want to support them in prayer and not come up, that's great. Or if you want to do it financially and prayer, that's great too. I'm sure they won't turn you away. But that's my prayer today, that we would be able to respond and be able to be a blessing to them, because they have been a blessing to so many. And in particular, they have really been a blessing to us as a church. So church, would you please welcome Jonathan Grooms as he comes to bring God's word. Thank you, brother.
Good morning. It's one person is awake this morning, but it's great to be here at Sovereign Grace. And actually, when Heidi and family, when we come here, we feel like we're at home. We have so many familiar faces that we see and so many friends that we've made over the years. And so thankful for Pastor Bruce and Spencer and the privilege of being able to share with you this morning and to be able to partner with you in the work of the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ here locally and around the world. And it's been wonderful these last number of years to see. Testing 1, 2. There we go. That's working. But again, thank you so much for the privilege, Pastor Bruce and Spencer, for being able to be here this morning and to share the Word of God with each of you, and for the partnership that we've had over these last number of years, and just looking across the crowd and seeing so many of you that have gone on different short-term mission works. I'm excited, just in a few weeks, a number of people from Sovereign Grace will be going back to Haiti, June 23rd to the 30th. And we just are really excited about how God is going to use that team to further God's kingdom there in the country of Haiti. And then also just recently we had Casey back in Jordan with us. And we're always happy to have Casey come over and spend time with us there and serve the Lord, loving the refugees. And also, we, as Josh mentioned, as he prayed, before he prayed about the GPS camp, was our first time to have an internship camp to help prepare interns before they go to the field. And I know that Melody, is Melody here this morning or no? Okay, there's Melody. Melody's leaving in a couple weeks. I will be serving in Haiti for a number of months this summer, and we're looking forward to having her partner with us there at the Rev home, and loving on the kids, helping them through their lives. And then also Katrina, she was at our GPS camp a couple weeks ago. I think she's out in children's ministry, serving here in the church as well. And so we're looking forward to how God is going to use her in the days ahead as she prepares her heart is for India, as you well know. And we're looking forward to seeing what God is going to do in and through her life. Just want to remind you, and actually I left the flyers at home this morning, but Proceeds for Poverty is right around the corner. Many of you have been, you have some in the back? Okay, fantastic. Is right around the corner. June the 8th and the 9th are the shopping days, but we need some volunteers to help us the week in advance, even the Saturday before, I believe June the 2nd. We'd love to have some men to come out and help us to move some items into the place where we're going to be holding the event over at Rainbow Forest from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock. If you're free that day, have a truck. We'd love to have your help. And then all during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as we prepare for the sale, we'd love for you to come out and volunteer, whether it be for an hour, be all day. We have all kinds of different ways that you can volunteer with us. And so we just encourage you for that. In July, we're looking at, we don't have the exact dates, possibly July 7th and 8th, we're going to be having a Global Partners family camp. And it's a way for many people that aren't able to travel overseas but get to experience somewhat of a mission trip over the weekend on a Friday and Saturday. And as we get more details, we'll be letting Josh know about that, and he can pass that information on to you as well. And then, of course, we have our golf tournament July the 28th, if you'd like to play golf. I hear that not many people in this church are golfers, but we could always use some volunteers. We'd love for you to come out and be a part of a really exciting day. We're actually, some of y'all that have been to India, and I know that you all would like to hear this. Actually, you won't like to hear it, but the Koya people is an unreached people group in India. many of which have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. We have a work among them with a pastor. His name is Pastor Prasad. And some of you that have gone to India with us have gotten on that boat. Did you do that, Jason? Y'all got on the boat and went up the river? This week, one of those boats that we have gotten on, it's not the same one probably, but one similar to that, actually capsized and went into the water, and it killed over 30 people there this week. And some of the same villages that we went to and shared the gospel with, some of those people actually passed away this week. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity that we had to go into those villages. We actually installed some clean water wells up that river and to be able to share the gospel. And hopefully some of those people that passed away were ones that had began a relationship with Jesus Christ. And our life here on earth is so short. And so we must make the most of every single day. And so I'm thankful for those who have gone to India to share the good news with them. But pray for the Koya people. They're hurting people right now, as many of their loved ones, their family, have passed away this week. And so we're excited about what God is doing around the world and our part in that. And we're thankful for the partnership that we can have with Sovereign Grace and with each of you in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ here locally and around the world. And that's what God has called all of us to do. This morning, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. I know last time that I spoke here a couple years ago, we started in Genesis and went through Revelation. Anybody remember that? A couple of you maybe? Okay, well today we're going to go through the book of Jonah. And we're going to start at the beginning and we'll see how far we can make it, if we can possibly get to the end of Jonah. But Jonah, as I read this book, really, as we look at it, Jonah is a picture of me and you. And so today, as we go through this book, I'm hoping that you'll see some parallels between our life and Jonah's life, God's work in Jonah's life, God's work in our life, and how we can apply it to our everyday life today. And actually, Jonah really my eyes began to be opened up to this book of Jonah. I always remember growing up in Sunday school and, you know, hearing about Jonah being swallowed by the great fish and the great stories we learn in our Sunday school. But really, it was through perspectives that really the book of Jonah began to become alive in my life and to understand really what this book was all about. And in speaking about perspectives, I know that your church is a big part of this and what's taking place in the Roanoke Valley. But I want to encourage you, and probably most of you have not taken it. I know the other week my dad asked in our church, how many of you in the church have taken the perspectives course before? And two people raised their hand. It was me and Heidi. We were the only ones that had taken the perspectives course. So my dad was encouraging our church to be actively involved. We're trying to get so many people from our church to be a part of perspectives program. It begins mid-August. Is that right, Josh? Mid-August and goes through December. And I know the size, some of them have taken the perspectives program. I've taken it. I think, Josh, did you finish the program? And so I encourage you, please, please, please take time out of your schedule on Monday nights this fall to be a part of the perspective. It will change, it's called perspectives, because it will change your perspective and really, truly give you open your eyes to the world in which you live and God's work in this world and how you can be an active part of reaching your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I challenge you to do that. I know maybe for some of you, cost may be a factor with that. I encourage you to save some funds so that you can be a part of the Perspective program. And if funds are a deterring factor from you going, come talk to me, talk to Pastor Spencer, talk to Josh. We will do what we can to help so that you can be a part of being a part of Perspectives this fall. And so I just really, really encourage you with that. I know that Asai's would recommend it 100% as well for you being part of it as well. So let's look this morning at the book of Jonah. Before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to look into your word. I pray that as we look into your word this morning, God, that we would our eyes would be enlightened, that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that as you speak today, that we would clearly hear your voice and that we would respond in obedience. And even as we look in Jonah's life and Lord, how he chose to run the opposite way, Lord, I pray that would not be the case for us today, but that we would hear your voice, that we would respond in obedience immediately for what it is that you have for us today. Thank you so much for all that you're doing, Lord, here in Sovereign Grace. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these church members. We pray that, God, that you would use them for your glory and for your honor in the days ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. One of the things I really want to encourage you with is sometimes I think you have a missionary come to your church, and I appreciate what Pastor Bruce shared earlier, is sometimes you can put like a missionary up on a pedestal. And I can tell you, Heidi and I, we are just common people just like you are. And we have our struggles, we have our difficulties, we go through the same things in life just like you do. We're nothing special. We're no more different than what you are. And so I really want to say that. And also I want to say as well that as we look at this message today, and I know sometimes as we think about Mission Sundays, I know some churches, when they say it's Mission Sunday, people just, they kind of want to stay home that day because they're like, this doesn't apply to me. And this has nothing to do with me. That has to do with the pastors and the deacons or the missionaries. Okay, but I want to tell you this morning that even as we look in this, and we're going to talk about how Jonah, how he was called to go into a foreign context to share the gospel, and how we're going to look at the obedience and how he was obedient, not obedient. But I want us to kind of take our mind away from like this travel overseas. Like I would love for every single person in this church to be a missionary, to go overseas and to go to Africa or India or somewhere like that and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That would be awesome. But I don't know that God's called all of us to do that. But one thing for sure that I know that he has asked us to do is to be obedient every single day in the small things. So today we're going to maybe look at like a bigger picture of God's calling for Jonah to go to a foreign context. But I want you not to maybe so much look at it that way for your life and say, oh, that's not for me because I'm not called to go to this place. I want us to look at it like every moment of the day. I believe that God is speaking. God is a God who is active in our lives, and God is speaking all the time. So I want us to look at it just even in the smallest little detail of when we wake up in the morning, when we go to work, what we're doing on our way to work, what we do in our interactions with people at work, what we do when we come home, what we're doing with our free time, what we're doing on the weekend. Like every single aspect of our life, our interactions with people. And I want us to look at obedience in these things. We're going to be looking at big picture with Jonah, but I want you personally, as you listen to this message today, I believe that God will speak to all of us. I want you to look at it into the smallest details of your life where God is working. And I believe that God is involved in every single aspect of our lives. God is just not involved in just when we do the church thing or when we're reading our Bible. God is active in every single part of our life. And he demands, he requires obedience in every single part of our life. So I want us to take what's big picture, and I want us to look at it in a small way in our life today. Just so we don't get to this place like, oh, that's for somebody else. No, this is for all of us. And we're going to see that Jonah's life is a lot like your life. Jonah's life is a lot like my life. So we start off the book. And this morning I have my NLT Bible, and I hope you're okay with that. I know that some of you maybe have different versions as well. But it starts off and says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Okay? We see that God gave a message to Jonah. We see that God was active in Jonah's life. God was speaking to Jonah. First thing I want us to see, and really this is not really a preaching message. I'm wanting to teach today. I want us to see that God is active in your life. God is speaking to you. Just like God spoke to Jonah, God is speaking to you today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonathan. The word of the Lord came to Hannah. The word of the Lord came to Josh. God is active. God is speaking. And if we're not hearing the voice of God, it's not because God's not speaking. It's because we tune God out. But God is always speaking. And God had a message for Jonah. What did he tell him? God said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Now, remember, this story took place about 750 years before Jesus came. About 750 BC is this when this happened. And Jonah, was living up in Galilee, where Jesus had a lot of his ministry. This is where Jonah was living at the time, up in northern Israel. Jeroboam was the king during this time of the northern tribe of Israel. And things for Jonah, things for Israel were okay during this time. And so you can just imagine yourself, and let's put ourselves in Jonah's picture today, and let's just say that we're sitting here in our comfortable area here in Roanoke, Virginia. Okay, and this is kind of what happened to Jonah. He's there, he's doing his work, he's loving God, he's a prophet, he's sharing different things, encouraging people, speaking the words of God. And all of a sudden, God shows up to him, God shows up to hear us in Roanoke, Virginia, and he says, Jonathan, he says, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to Raqqa, Syria, where all of ISIS was a couple years ago, and I want you to go and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Now, many times we look at Jonah like, Jonah, why weren't you obedient to God? Why didn't you just go to Nineveh? Well, let me remind you what Nineveh was like. Nineveh was like, in a lot of ways, like ISIS has been these last couple of years. So can you imagine God coming to you as you're waking up one morning, getting ready to go to work, and says, hey, I want you, Colin, today to leave your family, and I want you to go to Raqqa, Syria, and I want you to stand on the street corner and tell them 40 days God is going to destroy you. You better repent. How many of you would just hop up and just run off the Raqqa, Syria? I don't see anybody raising their hands. Okay, this is a similar situation that Jonah's in. Okay, so Jonah begins to think, huh, I've heard about Nineveh. Now, does anybody know where Nineveh is present day? It's pretty interesting. Anybody know where that is? Okay, it's in the country of Iraq, in the city, anybody here of Mosul? Okay, remember, most of the refugees that we work with on a daily basis, that's where they're from Mosul. Remember back in August of 2014 when ISIS overtook Mosul, all the Christians, isn't it amazing? It was a Christian city. All the Christians fled. They went to Erbil, and then a lot of them came over to Jordan. But that's where God called Jonah to go. He called him to go to Mosul, Iraq, or back then it was called Nineveh. And it was, at that time, it was the Assyrians. And it's amazing that, you know what most of the language that the Christians from Mosul, what they speak, what their language is? It's the Assyrian language. It's many, many, many years ago. And so God called Jonah to go to this city called Nineveh. And Nineveh, if you were to walk up to the streets of Nineveh, and remember it says there in the book of Jonah, it says it would take you 3 days to walk across the city. But if you would walk up to the streets of Nineveh, before you would enter into the gates, they would have the streets lined with the decapitated heads of their enemies. They would literally skin people alive and hang their skins on the street corners. So everybody would know, don't mess with us. Jonah knew this. And this is the place that God was calling Jonah to go. To go to that city, to preach the message, to tell them to repent. In 40 days, you will be destroyed. How many of you are wanting to go to Nineveh? Yeah, nobody's raising their hand. So we can put ourselves in Jonah's shoes and see, I can see maybe why Jonah was thinking a little something different than what God had for him. You know where Jonah ended up going? Anybody know? Can't hear you. You can speak. It's okay. What city did he head towards? Tarshish. Okay, anybody know where Tarshish is present day? Did somebody say Spain? Yeah, Spain. Okay. Is Spain anywhere close to Iraq? No, it's the opposite way. Okay, and so verse 2, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up in verse 3 and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. Okay, I'll stop right there. So Jonah is running from God. It's chapter 1. Jonah running from God. Now, sometimes we as Christians, we do the same thing many times. We're running from God. Okay? And what happens, Jonah, he goes down to Joppa, to this port city, And guess what? He found a boat that was heading the opposite directions. And sometimes, you know what we do in our Christian walk? Something comes along easy. Like he's there in Joppa and he's like, I know I'm supposed to go to Nineveh, but hey, there's a boat that's heading to Tarsus. This boat's right there for us. And we just get on that boat and we head off and we say, you know what? This must have been God's will for my life because that boat just happened to be there at the right time. So this must have been God. You know, Satan just as easily can prepare that boat for you as God could have. And many times we put our circumstance or how things happen easily or this just went just right. So if it was just right, it must have been God. But we know in our hearts and minds that actually we're running from God. And just because the transportation was easy, just because the transportation was there for him, it didn't mean that he was doing the right thing. In our everyday life, you know, the Bible says that broad is the path that what? Leads to destruction. But narrow is the path that leads to life. And so just because the transportation is provided, it doesn't mean that God provided that transportation. Okay? And it's interesting what it says next there. It says, they found a ship leaving for Tarsus, and then he bought a ticket and went on board. Okay, some of your versions, it may say this, that he paid the fare. Know what it says in your version, maybe? He paid the fare. I want to remind you, anytime you run from God, you will pay the fare. You will pay the price. And we're going to find out here in a few moments as we continue on that it's just not you that pays the fare. It's people around you also pay the fare. Your sin has an effect on others. And so we see that Jonah was running from God. And the truth of the matter is, can we really run from God? No, because no matter where you go, who's there? God is. I love Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There's nowhere that we can run where God is not. I used to think when I was younger and I was first traveling to India a lot, and I just remember hearing all the stories about they worship 300 and some million gods. I used to always think, man, we've got to go there and take God to them. You know what? I had the wrong perspective. God was already there. God's everywhere. Yes, we go to be light to them. We go to share the good news with them. But God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere on this earth. And he is active in the world in which we live. So we see Jonah running from God. He gets on the ship in verse 4. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods. Notice in my version, it's a small g, for help, and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the bottom of the boat. So can you picture yourself out there on the Mediterranean Sea? They left Israel heading up to Tarsus, over to Spain. And all of a sudden, this storm comes up on the Mediterranean Sea on this boat that they're on. And the sailors, they're probably really good sailors, but they're scared for their lives. They start throwing cargo overboard. And all this is taking place. And Jonah is where? He's at the bottom of the boat, fast asleep. And I'm afraid that many of us as Christians and many churches here in America are in the same position that Jonah is in. There's chaos all around us. There's people who are hurting, people who are hopeless, people who do not know Jesus. It's like those sailors that were on the boat that day. They had no idea who the real one true and living God of Israel was. People at our workplaces, people in our family, everywhere, chaos, pain, suffering. Don't know where to turn, don't know what to do. And we're just like Jonah, fast asleep in the bottom of the boat. And I'm afraid that's where many of us are today. our eyes are open to what's going on around us and how God is at work. Even there in the midst of that storm, God was at work. So we as Christians, we need to wake up. We need to wake up and see what is happening around us. See where God is putting us, where God is placing us in our world today, in your workplaces, in your families, so that we can be awake to know that God has a purpose and plan for us to be His light, to be His ambassadors, to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. So Jonah was there fast asleep in verse 6. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God." Again, small g. "Maybe He will pay attention to us and maybe He will spare our lives." Then the crew, they cast lots to see which one of them offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, and I'm sure he said it not very proudly, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, Jehovah, the God of heaven who made the sea and the land." And the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for they had already told them, he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" So these sailors are asking the man of God, "What should we do? And why are you running from your God?" So the lost sailors are seeing things better than Jonah is. "Why are you running from your God? Why are you putting this calamity? This is your fault that all this is happening to us." And Jonah responded, "Throw me into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Isn't it amazing that even though Jonah knew that he was running from God, he knew the power of God, that he would say that if you get rid of me, everything will be okay. That the God who sent this storm is the God that can calm this storm. So he understood, he knew the power of his God, but yet he was still running from him. Instead, the sailors, they didn't want to throw Jonah overboard, so they rowed harder and harder to ship to land, but the storm, the sea was too violent for them and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailor picked up Jonah and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were all struck by the Lord's great power. They offered a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Isn't it amazing that these sailors, that even through Jonah's disobedience, now I'm not trying to encourage disobedience here, but even through Jonah's disobedience, that God's plan and purposes still prevailed. Aren't you thankful we have a God like that? That His plans will prevail. Now the problem is that we see in Jonah's life here that he had to suffer the consequences for his sin. Jonah missed out on the blessing of being able to be the one to share God's love with these sailors. Jonah had to be tossed into the sea. But even through Jonah's disobedience, that God so desires that every person on planet Earth would come to know Him, that even through our mistakes, even through our disobedience, even through us running the opposite way, that God's purpose and plan of people from every tribe and nation of knowing Him will be accomplished. That's the kind of God that we serve. But it doesn't allow us to walk in disobedience so that God's prevail, so that God's purposes can prevail. God desires us to be a part of His plan and purpose, and so that we can delight in Him, so that we can bear much fruit, so that the world can know that He is the one true and living God. And so they threw Jonah into the water, and the Lord had rained a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and for 3 nights. Now, being in the belly of a fish is probably not the greatest place to be, but it is a great place to learn. You have nowhere else to go. It's dark, and then it's what? It's only you and maybe some seaweed and God. And that's where Jonah was for 3 days, for 3 nights. So we see in the first chapter, Jonah running from God. This chapter here, we see Jonah running to God. And so chapter 2, it says, Jonah First thing he does, and Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. And if you read through chapter 2, what you're going to see is that Jonah is quoting maybe 8 or 9 different psalms from the book of Psalms. He's quoting these verses because I'm sure he didn't have a Bible to read. He didn't have his iPad with him. He was remembering these verses that he had learned from the psalms that he had memorized, and he was quoting them back to God. And he was crying out to God during his time of trouble. We see that even though Jonah is covered with seaweed, he is still a testimony that God takes no delight in the death of sinners, but rather God rejoices in their salvation. Jonah, who had no mercy on the unsaved Gentiles there in Nineveh, asked for God for mercy for his own soul. We see Jonah crying out, and even in verse 9 there in chapter 2, he says, "But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone." It's sad that many times it's only when we hit the deepest, darkest parts of our life is when we call out to God in this way. Wouldn't it be so much more beautiful if we could call out to God like that every single day of our life? Just not during the dark times. But God does allow these dark times to come into our life so that we can see and know who He truly is. And I don't also want to say that all the dark times that we go through in our life are not a result of sin or disobedience. God allows dark times in our life as a testimony of His grace, as a testimony of His mercy, as a testimony of who He is, so that we can know Him in greater ways, in ways that we've never known Him before. So it's not a result of sin always that we go through the trials and temptations. But I pray that when we do go through the trials and temptations, that we will be like James in James chapter 1, where he says that we will count it all joy when we fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of our faith will produce patience. And when that patience has its perfect work, that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So God allows these difficulties in our lives so that we can know Him and in the ways in which God wants to show Himself to us. And so there in the belly of that fish, we see Jonah crying out to God. Jonah running to God for help, for salvation. And that's really all of us have to come to a point in our life where we are running to God in that way. That's where we have salvation. But even after our salvation, that we are constantly running to God for help, running to God for grace, running to God for mercy in our time of need, because without Him, we can do nothing. We need His help. We need His grace every single day of our lives. When God speaks to us during the day, throughout the day, in order for us to say, "Yes, God, I will obey," we need His mercy. We need His grace. We need His salvation. We need the gospel at work in our lives so that we can say yes to Him when God speaks to us. And so we see now in chapter 3 that Jonah, it says that the Lord spoke to Jonah what? The second time. Aren't you thankful that we have a God that speaks the second time? Some of us the third time. Some of us the fourth time. Some of us the fifth time. Many of us the 20th time. That God spoke to Jonah again. God's still working on all of us. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. But also we see that God loved the people of Nineveh. God was willing to come back to Jonah, even after Jonah had turned his back on Him. He was willing to come back to Jonah so that the people of Nineveh could know who He was. So the Lord spoke to Jonah the second time. He said, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given to you." It's interesting there, like if as a father, we would say, "Elijah, get up and do this, but you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done this." But you know, God in His love, He just said again, "Jonah, give you another chance. Second time, get up, go to the great city of Nineveh, deliver this message I've given to you." And this time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command. He went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it. On that day, Jonah entered the city. He shouted to the crowd, 40 days from now, your city will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne. He took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in the burlap and sat on the heap of ashes.
the king and all the nobles and sent a decree throughout the city. Not one, not even animals from your herds and flocks may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all the violence. Who can tell? Perhaps God will change His mind and hold back His fierce anger from destroying us. So we see that all the way up to the king of Assyria, that they repented of their sins. They turned from God. I mean, they turned from their sin and they turned to the one true and living God. They heard the message of Jonah. And I'm thankful that today we have a message as well. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says this is the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that this message that Jonah was preaching is the same message that we are preaching today. And there is power in the gospel, power to save people's lives. The worst of sinners, going back to the beginning, we talked about how maybe God would say to us, go to Raqqa, Syria, share the good news of Jesus Christ with ISIS to tell them about Jesus. And we'd be like, I don't know about that. But you know what the amazing thing is we're hearing stories today of ISIS members that are turning from their sin and turning to have a relationship with the one true and living God. It's amazing that even some of the refugees that we're there serving with, whose lives were turned upside down, who lost their houses, they lost their cars, they lost their businesses, they lost everything that from what took place there with ISIS, that now they're in our churches today across Jordan. They're on their knees, and you know what they're doing? They're crying out to God to save members of ISIS. And it's amazing, as reports come across and we start hearing some of these different stories taking place, they're the first ones that will come to us and saying, God has answered our prayers. This ISIS member has come to know Jesus Christ. God can do the impossible. And I encourage you, maybe there's family members in your life. Maybe there's people that you work with that you would think there is no way that they would ever turn from their sin. There's no way that they would come to know Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that our God is the God of the impossible. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It just took one person. It took Jonah going to this city to preach the message that God had called him to preach for this whole city to repent and to turn. No one would have believed that. The odds were against him. Everyone probably believed that when Jonah went there, he would not come back alive. Maybe it would have been his head that would have been on the street. Maybe it would have been his skin of his body that would have been planted on the walls. But no, Jonah went there. It was obedient to God. And God relented. God changed His mind in order that this whole city would come to know and repent and come to know Him. God is able to do that. And it was just simply Jonah saying what? One word. Jonah said yes. Jonah said yes to God. And when we say yes to God, God can do a work in and through us that we would never, ever, ever imagine. I heard it said one time that God can do more in a moment of time than we can in a lifetime of labor. God can do more in a moment of time, in a second of time, than we can in a lifetime of work when we just simply say yes to God. How do we get to that place where we could say yes to God to go to a place like Nineveh? You know how that happens? It's by simply saying yes to God through the small things. Simply saying, yes, God, I'll read my Bible. Yes, God, I'll pray. Yes, God, I'll serve in the church. Yes, God, I'll do this. Yes, God, whatever it is that you're asking me to do, I'll do it. That's how Jonah got to that place, maybe, that he, even though he ran, he went the wrong way. But even though he got to that place, it was through a series of saying yes to God. So that's why I would encourage you today to begin to say yes to God in the small things. It's just amazing throughout the years, just being a part of Global Partners and being a part of people's lives, and seeing how very, very timid and shy people that hardly would ever, I think of Leslie, Leslie, how she's so shy and timid, how she would hardly even speak to anybody. And now she's in Amman, Jordan, learning the language, interacting with people, sharing God's love with people. And you know what? It's just simply by her saying yes, yes to Him. She took that step of faith. And then how God is using her in such powerful ways. It's the same for all of us. Just simply saying yes to God. And that yes, we need to have a period at the end of it. Many of us say, yes, but this, 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 and this. Yes, period. Yes, God, I'll do whatever it is you ask me to do. In verse 10, it says, when God saw that they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. So we see in chapter 3 that Jonah is running for God. He was running from God. Then he began to run to God there in the belly of the fish. And then in chapter 3, Jonah is running for God. He goes to proclaim the message. He's obedient to what it is that God asked him to do. And then we wish almost the chapter or the book ended right there, but it doesn't. We come to chapter 4. It says, the change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he began to become very angry. You're kind of thrown for a loop a little bit. You're like, God just spared a whole city? These wicked people just turned from God, and now they're following after him? And yet Jonah's angry, and Jonah is upset? Well, you could say that Jonah is the father of all Christians who want the benefits and the blessings of salvation, but don't want the responsibilities. Jonah wanted the blessings and the benefits of salvation, but when it came for somebody else to be blessed, when it came for someone else to be benefited with the gifts of salvation, we see that Jonah gets upset and angry with God. We say, I would never do that, but maybe think about this. You see somebody that you know, and they're not kind of living as good as you're living for God. They're not praying like you're praying. They had kind of missed church a little bit, and all of a sudden you see God blessing them, and you're like, hey, why is God blessing that person? I've been a little more faithful than they have. Anybody ever think like that? Nobody's raising their hand, but I know you've all done it maybe one time or twice, but we do. We kind of look around and think, man, I've done some good things for God. And you know, he was thinking about Israel as a nation, and they were the apple of God's eyes. That was how God, you know, was using Israel to reach the world. Well, he wanted that to be kept for Israel nation. He didn't want these other pagan nations to know God. And, you know, I hear that so many times, like, oh, those people, they don't deserve that. Okay? And even I hear a lot of people, how they even talk about Muslims and things like that, or different religions of the world. They don't deserve that. They've done so many wrong things. They don't deserve that. No, we're all sinners saved by God's grace. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. But that's the way Jonah was. He got upset with God, that God would bless Nineveh with this salvation and not destroy the city. And so we see in verse 2, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? So he's going back. He said, I knew this is what you're going to do. I know you're a loving God. That is why I ran away. That's why I went the other way. I knew you're merciful and compassionate God. This amazing thing is Jonah knows how great his God is. Jonah knows the loving kindness of God, the mercies of God, and how God wants all people to know him. And yet he's upset. You're slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You're eager to turn your back from destroying people. And he says, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. He's willing to die. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east side of the city, made a shelter to sit as he waited to see what would happen to the city. So he just sat there and just was hoping God would destroy the city. And the Lord God arranged a leafy plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shadowing him from the sun. This ease is discomfort. And Jonah was very, very grateful for the plant. Now, you have to be reminded, in Iraq, in the summertime, I don't know what time of the year it was, but in the summertime, it's usually like 115, 120, 125 degrees there in Iraq. So you can imagine he was happy about this shade tree. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant, so it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head till he grew faint, and again, he wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah said, even angry enough to die. And then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? So we see Jonah gets upset and angry with God. After what God getting ready to do this miracle, he relented. He did not destroy the city. In Assyria, they repent. They begin to turn to God. And Jonah, the Christian, is upset and angry with God and turns his back on him, and he wants to die. It's amazing that This is one of the very few books. I think there's one other book in the Bible that the book ends with a what? A question mark. Ends with a question mark. So we don't really ever know really what happens with Jonah. I think about our lives. How are our lives going to end? Will it end with a question mark? See, we all one day are going to go to a grave and there's a tombstone and it's going to have the date of birth and the date of our death. And what's in between that date of birth and death? A what? A dash. You know what that dash represents? That dash represents our life. It's our life. The Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then vanishes away. It says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for you know not what a day will bring forth. We're not sure of tomorrow. So my challenge to all of us today as we look at the story of Jonah. God called Jonah to do a big thing. Go to a country with wicked heathen people where he could have given his life. But you know what? God possibly may not be calling you to do that today, but He is calling you to something else specific in your life. I don't know what that is. You do. Maybe there's something that's been on your heart for a long time and you just kind of push God off to the side. No, God, I'm not ready yet. No, I'm not ready yet. Today, I want to challenge you to say yes. To say yes to God, to walk in obedience. And I want to tell you, when you say yes to God, you will experience God in ways that you have never known Him, ways that you have never seen Him at work, ways that you can't even imagine. You will get to know God in such ways that it'll blow your mind away when you begin to say yes to God. That's what I want to challenge you. Can you imagine, Pastor Bruce, if you had this many people in this church, that all of them to say yes to God, just in the simple things? Just in the simple things, to say yes to God. It was with the 12 disciples there in the book of Acts, those early apostles, they turned the world upside down for Him. Think about this church, Sovereign Grace. I think about my home church, Rainbow Forest. Think about Bonsack Baptist. I think about North Roanoke over here, First Baptist. Journey Church right across the way here. What if the Roanoke Valley began just to say yes to God? Can you imagine what would happen? This valley would be turned upside down for Him. Just a matter of one person. It's what I really, really like. We have a marathon that we run in November. Some of y'all heard about it last year. It was just a couple years ago. There was one girl. Her name's Dana. Some of y'all met her, I think, when we went to Haiti. Dana Cox. You know what? God put on her heart to run in this marathon. And you know what she did? She said yes to God. She said, yes, I'll do it. I'm not a runner, but I believe this is what you want me to do. Next thing you know, that race that fall, she had, I think, about 8 or 10 other people run with her that said, yes, I'll be a part of this. The next year, last year, there was 100 runners that ran in that race with Global Partners. All because one person simply said yes. So when you say yes to God, it's contagious. And it ended up last year where in that race, $70,000 was raised through that race. That one person saying yes, $70,000. And that's not the exciting part about the money. The exciting part is that we were able to put clean water wells in India. Some of y'all were a part of that this last January. And guess what? Probably hundreds, if not thousands of thousands in the future will come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior as a result of that one person saying yes to God and simply running a marathon. So what is it that God has for you today? What is it that you need to say yes to Him about today? It's not a marathon. It's not maybe going to Syria. Maybe it is going on a short-term trip in the future. Maybe it is saying, yes, God, I'll surrender. Be willing. Say, I'll give it all up to go to share God's love. I love Katrina. I loved being with her a couple weeks ago. She's got a one-track mind. It's India. She's going to get to India. And I love that about her. She's passionate about her. She's sensed God's calling in her life, and she's saying yes. She doesn't know how it's going to work out. She doesn't know how she's going to get there, who she's going to work with yet. But she's just saying, yes, I'll go. I love that. I don't know what God has for her, but God has a plan and purpose for her, and God has a plan and purpose for each and every one of you. to bring about God's love, to bring about His mercy, His grace to the people here in the Roanoke Valley and around the world. And all it takes is just one. It takes one person saying yes, and it will spread. I just encourage you today, say yes to God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we've had together this morning to look at the life of Jonah. And Lord, as we see his life, we see so much of ourselves in him. We know your power. We know your greatness. We can speak of it. We can talk about it. But when it comes down practically to being obedient and doing what it is you've asked us to do, many times we run the opposite way. God, I thank you that you're a God of grace. You're a God of love. You're a God of forgiveness. And the Lord, maybe there's many today that are here in this room, including myself, that more times we can think of running from you or saying yes. We know that we've run from you maybe 10 more times and not said yes to you. And maybe today we're filled with guilt. We're filled with shame that we've been disobedient. But God, I thank you that even as we sung about earlier, about the cross, that at the cross we can find forgiveness of sin. And today we ask, Lord, individually, we ask for your forgiveness. We, Lord, ask corporately, Lord, for your forgiveness of running from you. And Lord, I pray that all of us today would commit, Lord, to saying yes to you. The small things, whatever it is that you ask us to do, even as we walk out these doors, even as you maybe just ask us to pray over someone today or to give an encouraging word, that we would just say yes to you in that. And Lord, we know that you will take these things and you will use them for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I pray that this church would be known as a yes church of people that just simply say yes to you and that are obedient to you. And Lord, may the leaders of this church, I thank you for the great example that they already have given, Lord, to this body of simply saying yes to you. So we pray your blessings over each person that's here today. And Lord, we just pray that you would continue to use this church for the furtherance of your kingdom here today and in the days ahead until your kingdom comes. In Jesus' name we pray.
As the worship team comes forward, I'd like to ask the prayer team to come forward as well. I want to take this opportunity to invite you to say yes. And I want to tell you a sad story. At one time, there was an individual who came up to me and he said this: "Boy, I really appreciate your preaching. I just want you to know that it was really effective. And you were preaching about sin, preaching about repentance, and it really helped." But this person didn't respond to it and just continued on in the activities that they were continuing on in. And they lost everything. I mean everything. Reputation, marriage, family. And it all hinged on God was reaching out to them. God was being merciful to them, just like with Jonah that second time. And the person refused to say yes. Listen, when God is moving in your heart, calling you to obey, whatever it might be, it's not just for your good. It's not just for protection. It's also for your enjoyment. Because He knows what's best. And if He's tugging on your heart today and He's saying, forgive that person, calling you to say yes, not just so that that relationship will be made right, but there's ramifications that you and I in the spiritual world will never see. Who would have ever thought that 120,000 people would repent because of one man's obedience to go? And it's the same with us. Are those choices that we make in those small times when God invites us, when the Holy Spirit convicts us or brings to mind something, those choices are important, not just for our protection, but also for our enjoyment of what He has planned for us. And I want to encourage you as we sing, and if you're on the worship team, or if you're here at the prayer ministry, if you're doing projection or whatever it be you might do, listen, we don't care if the drummer has to get up and come and ask for prayer, right? Does it matter to us if the lyrics all of a sudden fall off or if the preacher's over there asking for help? Listen, if God's really sovereign, we believe here at Sovereign Grace, He is, kind of, you know, Sovereign Grace. If that's really true and you feel something going on in your heart today, guess what that means? That means God's brought you here this Sunday to hear this particular message. You didn't expect it. You probably didn't even know Jonathan was coming. And here it is. This is an act of God's mercy and kindness to you early on, just like He did with Jonah. There were consequences for Jonah, most likely sitting in that belly of that great fish. He experienced acidic kind of content that probably was affecting him when that sun was beating down on him. Listen, when God calls out to invite you, respond early. Respond now. Respond while that conviction and that invitation is fresh. So the prayer team's going to be here while we sing. Jonathan and Heidi, if you wouldn't mind, if they could be down there, if you'd like to ask them for prayer, that would be great. They would love to pray for you. If you're one of those couple of people that perhaps you're saying yes to God, He's placed this couple and this family on your heart, and you're just saying, yes, we'd like to support you in prayer. We'd like to support you financially. That would be great. They're going to be over here for you to do this. But listen, don't walk out of here today and harden your heart. Don't allow Satan the victory. Don't miss out on what God has for you. Because He's a good God and a gracious God, and He wants to give you good and gracious gifts. But He often invites you to respond to Him in faith in order that you may receive that. Okay? So we're going to be here while we sing. I know it's probably going to be loud. There's probably going to be music going through the speakers, but that's okay. If there's something that God has been inviting you to, and you've been pushing Him back and saying, nope, whatever it is, respond today. Now is the day for salvation. Now is the day to respond. Okay? No one cares if you come forward. No one's wondering, well, I wonder if they're looking at pornography. Or I wonder if they got some unforgiveness and bitterness. No one's thinking that. They don't care. Right? They just want to worship God. When they see you, what's happening in their heart, I'll tell you what's happening in their heart. A lot of times it's like, man, I wish I could have that kind of faith. That's what's happening. They respect you more for responding. And that urges other people to ask God to help them as well. So, we're going to be up here. Love to pray for you. Any of you guys, we'd love to pray for you as well. Don't think, well, I'm up here, I can't come down. Yes, you can. We'll do it together. Okay? Let's sing and worship God, and let's respond as God leads.